This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour two, Thursday, Sharp Money, VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. What does that mean? That should mean to you, Josh Applebaum, our colleague, VSIN betting analyst. He's an author, the Everything Guide to Sports Betting, and also he does a hell of a job with the podcast. They just keep getting more you know why they're getting more popular, J.A., Josh Applebaum? Because I download them every day. Market Insights, of course, Daily Morning Bets. You want 15 minutes of Applebaum? Who doesn't? At Josh_Insights. We've got your notes, so we'll get to the games, including 9.5 with the Bills. We just had an electric Steve Tasker on. He edified us as to what's going to happen in the game. But Josh, we'll get to you and find out what's going to happen. But most importantly, as we say hi, co-ed softball with you and Shorty, your wife, Elise. How's it going?
Patrick, Amal, Dustin, great to be with you. It's going pretty good, Patrick. So, you know, we do this every Thursday, and ironically, our games are once a week, Thursday night at Donnelly Field in downtown Cambridge, Mass., not far from Goodwill Hunting, Patrick. So we won last
night. I like them apples.
Yeah, how do you like them apples? I got a number, Patrick. I ended up marrying her, Patrick. But anyway, we won our last game. We got another one tonight. But you know what we're doing, Patrick? We have to do team building. Like, people live for this. Yeah. I have a lot of fun doing it, but we're supposed to go out to the brewery after in Somerville. I got to find a TV that's going to give me these Thursday night games, college and pro. But so far, so good, Patrick. And it's like 70 degrees today. For whatever reason, it feels like summer's back in New England.
Yeah, team building. We had team building yesterday with the town hall meeting there with Len Mead. So sorry you missed out, Josh Applebaum. Maybe next time. Now, good luck tonight to you and Elise. Now, the game tonight. I can't lay 9.5. So help me understand how to bet this game.
Yeah, Patrick, I'm kind of with you. The spread seems pretty high, but I think it is kind of a sharp move toward Buffalo. The more I look at it, on the one hand, it's like, hey, you know, the Bills, they lose outright to New England last week. Now, if you go back to last week, that was a pretty sharp play and a kind of a perfect test case of a reverse line move. The public was all over Buffalo. They're getting like 86% of bets, but they fell -9, 8.5 down to 7.5 against the Patriots. So it's like, you know, you lose against the Pats. You look terrible doing it. You haven't played very good football recently. Now you're laying almost double digits. It seems like a lot. However, if you look at the way this line is moving, it looks like pros do trust Buffalo tonight. Total, the spread opener on -7.5 Bills. It's been bet up all the way to 9, 9.5. I see, you know, again, the other thing, Patrick, will be, do we get to 10 tonight? That's going to be something that I'll be monitoring. Obviously a key number here. Do they offer the 10? Is there buyback on Bucks 10? That's something to look toward tonight. But the one that I look toward is the bet split. Now, it's almost 50-50. Public doesn't know what to do. On the one hand, they're like, okay, Buffalo is the far better team. We think Tampa Bay isn't very good. No more Tom Brady. Yet, that's a big number of points for Buffalo to lay. However, 50-50 bet split, yet 75% of the money is on Buffalo, and the line is moving toward the Bills. And we have seen these Thursday night home favorites do pretty well. They're only 3-3 ATS this year, but they're 85-70 against the spread, 55% since 2005. And I think if you're betting Buffalo, you need their offense to show up. They're averaging 28 points a game. Tampa Bay only averaging 17 points a game. Now, I have a lot of systems here on dogs. Primetime dogs, Patrick, dogs getting 7 or more, that would all match with Tampa. So I'm going to actually bypass the spread. And if you want to sweat this one with me, Patrick, I'm going over. There's a lot of system matches to the under. I fully admit unders have been great this year. They're 61%. Non-conference unders are 66%. Primetime unders are 67%. So even though all these unders in systems and situations have cashed so well this year, what's the line doing tonight? The total's actually rising. It opened at 42. It was 43 this morning when I did morning bets. Now you're at 43.5. It's juiced up like it may even get to 44. So that tells me a lot. The fact that unders are doing so well this year in the NFL, everyone knows that. The wise guys know that. Yet they're hitting this over, causing this total to rise. Only about 60% bets, 70% money on the over. Weather shouldn't be an issue at all. No, you know, Bills Mafia, snowstorms. It's 65 degrees, light winds here. And if you watch that game against the Pats last week, a ton of injuries to the Buffalo defense. White, Tre'Davious White's been out for a while. Milano, Daquan Jones, Ed Oliver, Vita Vea is questionable for Tampa Bay. I think we could see some points here tonight, Patrick. Again, you can make a case for both sides. I think the sharp money is leaning Buffalo based on the line move, but I'm going to root for some points. Give me kind of a fishy over 43.5.
And Amal, just quickly, Amal, because you're sitting right there, sharp book, circa. We are sitting doubles there, right? 10 on Buffalo. I see DraftKings sitting 9.5, just because Josh mentioned, would we get to 10? And it looks like Amal's checking out the board right now. Where are we sitting there?
Yeah, 10 in favor of Buffalo and 43.5. So pretty good number if you like to play this over like Josh does, because you don't have that 44, which could potentially come into play. And you're absolutely right. Josh talked about it. Could potentially hit 10 on this one. Josh, any deviation in terms of the play if the number is at 10 elsewhere for other people?
Yeah, I think it's always about getting the best number here, Amal. You make a great point. Like, if you like Buffalo, and again, public's relatively split, looks like smart money to move that number. But we also want to mention, and anytime you talk, you know, steam moves, you know, lines moving, you know, in a big direction, you got to remember, pros really targeted the Bills at -7.5, -8, 8.5. I mean, now that it's risen so much, you got to kind of take a step back and say, okay, I am seemingly on the sharp side, but if Buffalo ends up winning by, you know, 9, and you get a late 9.5, 10, and you lose and the early sharps win, that's all about, again, getting the best of the number. So if you want to go Tampa Bay and you feel like this line is too high, shop around, get that 10. If you like Buffalo, again, it's 9.5 or less.
Hey, Patrick, Josh brings up a great point. You know, in the years past, we may not have concerned ourselves with 8 or 9 because it just didn't seem like those numbers really hit as much. But so many times now you see teams take 2-point conversions, missed extra points at the most inopportune times. And so I think it's something you have to be cognizant of if you're playing this game or any other game where you see a number go from 7.5 to 10 potentially.
Absolutely. No, a good distinction. We're going to get to Syracuse, Virginia Tech, because that's a game we've been debating and want to debate on the show here. Josh, I want to get your take quickly. What's the name of your softball team?
So it's Thursday Nights We Wear Pink. That's the name of our team, Patrick. I didn't make that name up. Thursday Nights We Wear Pink. It's for, raising money for breast cancer awareness at a Boston hospital.
So, that makes sense. Because I was about to say, that's the most trifling name I've ever heard for a sports team in the history of the planet. Now it's one of my favorite names in the history of the planet, as you're doing good for charity and breast cancer awareness. Thursday Nights We Wear Pink. Let's get a W tonight. Syracuse, Virginia Tech, enter Sandman. 3 on VaTech, 47.5, Josh.
Yeah, Patrick, I really like this spot to take the points on the road with Syracuse. This reminds me, if you kind of stare at lines long enough and, you know, every day you're in the arena, you're looking at numbers. If you go back a few weeks ago, there was a matchup where it was Nebraska at Illinois. It was the same exact thing where it was the Nebraska Cornhuskers on the road getting 3 and never moved off of 3. They were juiced up. They end up winning the game. I think it was like 20-17 or 20-7, something like that. So this reminds me a lot of that same bet split and line movement, or lack of line movement. Number one, you have two teams trending in opposite directions. Syracuse is 4-3, but they're struggling right now, Patrick. They've lost 3 straight, just got crushed by Florida State 41-3, did not cover as a 19.5-point road dog. Meanwhile, VaTech, they're playing better. They're 3-4, but they've won 2 of their last 3. They just beat Wake Forest 30-13, covering as a 1.5-point home favorite. But this is all about a line freeze to me, Patrick. Line freeze is when you have heavy betting on one side, but the line will not move at all. So if you look at the current bet splits from DraftKings, you're getting almost 2/3 of bets here tonight on Virginia Tech. It's a what have you done for me lately play. VaTech's playing well. Cuse is not playing well. But despite that majority of bets on VaTech, the Hokies open -3. They're still -3. So if the majority of bets are on Virginia Tech tonight, why aren't they up to 3.5 or 4? The line hasn't moved in that direction. It stayed exactly where it's at. That tells me that the books are more concerned about kind of that contrarian spot with wise guy money on Syracuse versus the $5 average Joe bets that are pounding VaTech. Also, you look at Syracuse, contrarian and heavily bet game. Always like to have that on my side. But love the system, Patrick. Short road dogs getting 4 points or less. It's kind of an angle here where if you think about it, odds makers are typically giving 3 points for home field. So if you're a road dog getting 4 or less, put that on a neutral site, that's basically the teams are even. So take the points in that spot. That's 54% against the spread over the last decade. Also conference dogs, kind of like that NFL divisional dog angle, that would match with Syracuse. Again, buy low, sell high, having lost 3 versus a team that won 2 of 3. And of course, a team that can score and put up points. Syracuse is averaging almost 400 yards of offense versus 360 for VaTech. So Publix VaTech, they open -3. They haven't moved off of 3. And the big thing to me, Patrick, is a lot of those Syracuse +3s are -115, -120, looking like it may get to 2.5. So I got to take the 3 here with Syracuse.
Josh, we got about a minute left. You got to play on Saturday between Duke and Louisville. This should be a pretty good game on paper.
Yeah, really excited about this one, Amal, and it's my favorite system match. I've been, you know, every time the you know, the lines come out each week in college football, I look for this system, and I found one. There's only one this week, but it's the two ranked teams take the home favorite. It's very, very simple here. But if you look at this situation, when two ranked teams face off, take the home favorite. Last couple weeks, it cashed with Notre Dame over USC. It cashed on the money line with Washington over Oregon. And last week it cashed Ohio State over Penn State. So whole point being is when you have two ranked teams facing off, the public says, hey, you know, they're pretty much even. They're both really good. Could be an upset. You might as well take the points. But that's not what we've seen in the betting market historically. When you have two ranked teams take the home favorite, since 2016, that's 61% against the spread. And on the money line, it's 81%. Both ROIs are around 15%. So this would match here with Louisville. They open -4. They're up to -4.5. So the line is moving toward Louisville. They're only getting 46% bets, but 60% of the money. Louisville is also coming off a bye, so rested, ready to go. Duke played last Saturday against, who was it? I think Florida State. And then also you look at the offense of Louisville, putting up 462 yards per game versus 372 for Duke. I know Mike Elko covers a lot of spreads. He's been really good at Duke, 12-5 ATS. But this is a system match for me that I love. I'm going to go money line here. It's a little bit high, but you don't want to have them win by 4 and you lose your bet. I'm going Louisville to win the game -190.
Thursday night, we wear pink and we pick up a W. Josh Applebaum, no doubt going to be batting cleanup, right? With that sturdy base. You're batting cleanup, correct? 4-hole?
Yeah, Patrick, right now I'm in the 2-hole playing shortstop, but you know what? Speed. I'm going to get you out here to New England. There's going to be a celebrity, we're going to pick you up off of waivers, bring you over to New England so you can play with us.
Appreciate that. Yeah, I can scoot. I can scoot and you can move me along. Josh Applebaum, VSiN betting analyst, of course, daily morning bets and market insights. Thanks, Josh. Good luck tonight. Appreciate you.
Appreciate it, guys. Good luck tonight.
Thank you.
When we return, thank you, Josh. When we return, we're going into the pound, the dog pound, boys.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before we get to the dog pound, Amal and Dustin, when I come back from telling you about the college basketball betting guide, I have a challenge for the two of you. You'll both be given 30 seconds to answer a question. Admittedly, I'm walking you into a tough spot. Okay? So, but quickly, want to let you know our college basketball betting guide is out. College basketball is about to tip off. You get everything. Look at them. They're nervous. Matt, you should be nervous, big guy. Particularly you. Matt Eumanns with his top 25. Who could be this season's Florida Atlantic? Remember the Final Four run there, of course. All 32 conferences previewed. Wooden Award candidates, futures, and season-long prop bets. The only way to get the guide is to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. You can sign up now for $120 through May 1st. The big dumb look on Dustin's face says he's scared. Don't be scared. Go get the vibe. The guide, VSiN.com/subscribe. Well, I'll get to the dog pound. We'll get to the winners as I continue my streak. It's been a ridiculously profitable, easy for me to say, time for me in the pound. So we'll get to our small, our midsize, and our big dogs coming up. Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, live from the D, where it is officially lit because there is some sort of, I don't know if it's a work function, but there's a group of like 20 dudes that are turning not some way up, all the way up on an October 26th Thursday at 1:16 p.m. What is happening at the D?
There's a lot of beer, a lot of Coors Light flowing. Interesting. I'm always curious why people choose certain beers because to me, a lot of them taste exactly the same.
Fair enough. How would you categorize the two of you? How would you categorize the nervousness as far as a 1 through 10 on what's about to transpire as I give you both a challenge?
I'd say good solid 7.5.
Seven and a half's not a bad number. The big guy's a nervous one just in general.
Yeah.
Where do you stand, big guy?
Well, I'd say despite my nervousness, I've done things like 3 times in 30 seconds before, so I think I'll be okay.
Dude, if you didn't see that coming, you haven't watched the show for 2 days, okay? Because that was about as easy and as forecasted as anything that's ever been said on the show. Okay, so here it is.
And if you didn't see it, you weren't there.
Admittedly, this is a tough challenge because this is like asking you to crack the Da Vinci Code. Mm. And many have talked about it. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you guys saw it, but Tom Izzo gave an interview about what I'm about to ask you two about with Detroit and Michigan reporters, and he was pissed. He was telling Bob Wojnarowski from the Detroit News, and he was telling all the reporters that cover Michigan sports, why aren't you writing stories about the scandal? Why aren't you talking about what's happening at Michigan? And so now I come to the two of you. 35 seconds on the clock. Dustin, you'll go first. How about that? I'll put you on the spot. What is happening right now? Here we go. We're starting. What is happening right now at Michigan with the cheating scandal? Dustin Sweetelson, 35 seconds. Go.
Ohio State fans and boosters have created this grand conspiracy where they've edited video to make it seem as though a Michigan assistant has gone around cheating, getting the signals of future Michigan opponents ahead of time in person, and then relaying them to coaches during that game in the upcoming weeks. It is all a conspiracy done by the Buckeyes. That is how I view this thing.
Okay. It's 10 seconds left on the clock.
She said
Mal
that
Shaw. Conspiracy at Michigan right now, college football, it's the biggest story. What is happening?
Now we've got a little bit of an addition to the situation here that South Carolina potentially may have gotten signals from Michigan facing off against Tennessee and Clemson to help them. These are two teams that could have been in the college football playoff last year. Just adding to the circus surrounding Jim Harbaugh and the University of Michigan just continues to have layer after layer as you peel back the onion on this one.
Yep, exactly. And what I would say to the two of you, I would have done worse than both of you, but I'm now more confused. Thank you very much.
I would add there. Apparently there's also like while this investigation was happening, I guess the Washington Post released a story last night where this was already being investigated before it was brought to light by some random people.
I have a question for both of you. Do you guys think it's a major deal?
Yes.
I don't know.
That's how I feel.
I'm being as sincere as possible. I know I'm on the fence. I don't freaking know. I know Bob Wojnarowski at the Detroit News, who's great, who went to Michigan and generally is a protector of the university. He said, as the details continue to come out, this has gone from pretty bad to worse to wow, this could get really, really, really punitively bad. So I don't have the answer. Because you know what, Amal? I honestly, the reason I did the little shtick with you guys there is because I genuinely, as much as I read about it, I don't really know what's going on. I just know that they put resources into trying to get people signs.
See, I think it's really bad, but that doesn't mean I know what the punishment's going to be.
I agree with you. I'm not sure what the severity of the situation and what it's going to be. The one thing for Harbaugh, he's so lucky, though, right? If there's a punishment on the University of Michigan, no problem. He just goes straight to the NFL. There's no ramifications for him.
100%. That's exactly what's going to happen. Okay. That was fun. Now, are you guys ready to enter the dog pound? Let's go.
It's time to find some underdogs.
Hey, guys, you ready to let the dogs out?
We're on a hunt for the dogs with the most bark.
We need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here looking in the mirror.
Welcome to the Dog Pound.
Is it me, or does it smell like a dog in here? What's up, dog? What's up with you?
On Sharp Money.
Fuzzy math here as I take a look at the Dog Pound standings. Dustin is in the lead here. Of course, the Dog Pound, we pick a small dog, a medium-sized dog, and a big dog. Small dog, a pick 'em to lane, catching three, 3.5 to 7 for the midsize, and 7 or more for the big dog. You see the big guy at plus 771 profit, 5 hits on the year. It looks like a little off on my number, 3 hits at plus 667, and Amal Shaw tied with me at 3 hits, plus 414. So, and last week, Amal had a big week, hit with BYU at plus 140, and hit with Rice, that was a Thursday night, I believe, at plus 150. I kind of cheated a little bit and hit with the Jags at plus 110, but as Amal said, we both should have hit with Colorado State. That one kind of escaped our grasp. Okay. Are we ready, boys?
Absolutely.
You want me to go first?
You're first.
I woke up feeling dangerous today, and I love this game. And Dustin, I must say, you came up with this idea, and I appreciate it because never have I, in my career, never have I done so well as I've done in the pound. So let's get it started and keep the undefeated streak going. I love my small play. It is the Carolina Panthers +3, +135 hosting the Houston Texans. Are you kidding me? I'm catching a number with Carolina coming off a bye. Yeah, I know they're 0-6. They got to get off the schneid. Here comes Houston at 3-3. They've overachieved. And again, I know they're off a bye as well, but this is a Carolina team at home. The most important aspect of it coming off the bye, Frank Reich and his inventive, slow, just archaic offense. He's decided to put his slow-tempoed, old-school style of calling plays to the side and made Thomas Brown the offensive coordinator. Brown, snappy week of practices, is going to go more tempo, going to get the tight end involved in Aiden Hurst a little bit more. And again, having that week to prepare, I think this is a perfect spot for the Carolina Panthers with an invigorated offense to not only cover the three, but +135 to keep my streak going and beat the Houston Texans. This is a Texans team again. Three games this year, they haven't recorded a sack. That's been the issue for Bryce Young and that offensive front for the Carolina Panthers. They know they can protect the quarterback here. Again, keep Bryce protected. Use Hayden Hurst a little bit more, which has been pledged. And I think not only do Carolina get off the schneid at 0-6, they're going to be 1-6 and they win my small dog +135. Already 1-0 on the week, boys. I'm proud of myself.
Well, I'll tell you, they'll get to 1-0 if they stop handing the ball off to Miles Sanders. I mean, this guy's averaging 3.1 yards per carry for this team. And then the other thing that they need right now, Patrick, they need some consistency from a second receiver, whether it's Mingo, Terrence Marshall, whomever it may be. Outside of Adam Thielen, who's got over 500 yards receiving, nobody else, Dustin, on this roster right now has over 200 yards receiving. They need somebody to step up to go with Young to Thielen and Young to someone else.
Yeah, I'd certainly describe the passing game as vanilla because there's a lot of Adam Thielen in the mix, if you know what I mean.
Hey!
Miles Sanders has been hurt, though. He'll be back. I know you're not a big fan. However, you look at the schedule. If the Panthers are going to win, you assume it's going to be at home with a rookie quarterback the way things have gone. If they don't win this week, they have Indy next week, and then they have Dallas at home and Atlanta at home and Green. They got to get this one. We're looking like a two-win team here from Carolina if they don't get a win off here quick.
Well, what it sounds like to me is you both don't like, you both love my small
dog. No.
I feel good about myself.
I'm annoyed that you got this one because I think it's a great play. And by the way, it's up to 3.5 right now on DraftKings. I would take that 3 and a hook at home.
I'm invoking my Fifth Amendment privilege.
All right. Well, don't invoke it for your small dog because you're up next. Here comes Amal Shaw, the dog pound.
I'm going to go with Syracuse. This is a team playing on the road tonight at Virginia Tech. But I'll tell you what, when we come back on the other side, I'm going to tell you
why.
It's all good. It's all good. I'm going to tell you
Could you be more verbose, Patrick? I just did 20 minutes and the Carolina Panthers and gave Amal Shaw 17 seconds to tell us why Syracuse is going to win outright tonight. When we come back, he will let you know why Syracuse at +122 is the play. My apologies.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, check out the betting splits over at vsin.com. Money and bets for every game, updated every 5 minutes, straight from DraftKings, today's games, and future events as well. Can't get through it without the betting splits. vsin.com. Okay, we're back. The dog pound. Let's keep it going, boys. My small dog was Carolina to keep the streak alive at +135. Amal Shaw is up next, and he's got a he hit with Thursday night last week. And he's got Thursday night Syracuse at Virginia Tech. Syracuse catching 122 them all.
Yeah, I like them here on the money line. Now the line's up to 3, so potentially you might want to take Syracuse in the 3 if you're going to bet this game, if you're not in love with the Cuse. But Patrick, when you look at this Virginia Tech team right now, I got some issues with them offensively. Kyron Drones, who's done a nice job, he took over for Grant Wells in the third game of the season. You know, he's a dual threat. He's big guy, 6'1", 230, but he's got a major problem. He has fumbled the ball now in 5 straight games. Hey, you got to have, if you want to have job security, you got to protect the football. And that's one issue that's been there with him. The Syracuse team has struggled in the last 3 games, Clemson, North Carolina, and Florida State. They've only managed 24 points during that stretch, but I think this is a good opportunity for them to get back on track offensively. On the flip side, this is a Sweetelson type of bet. if you get an opportunity, take a look at Syracuse first quarter here, guys. Virginia Tech on the season, and again, on the season so far in seven games, has scored 16 points in the first quarter. How is that even possible? This team has really struggled. In the fourth quarter, it doesn't get much better. They've scored 32 points in the fourth quarter this year. In the bookend quarter so far this year, in seven games, they've scored a total of 48 points here. Brent Pry's team has really struggled in their victories. They've averaged 35 points a game. In their losses, they've scored 17 points per game. And if you like this play, I would recommend one other thing. Take a correlated parlay type of play here. Syracuse to the under. If you like Virginia Tech, potentially to the over with the Hokies here. But I like Syracuse. Syracuse on the money line plus 130.
Yeah, I like it too. I think they can run on Virginia Tech. And the Orange got out to that 4-0 start, but then came Clemson, North Carolina, Florida State, and Virginia Tech. While they're playing better, certainly aren't those three Stink. That I just named. So I think Syracuse the better team here. I like the play plus 122 on the Orange. Big guy.
All right, well, my small doggy here, I'm also going with a Thursday night game. And it's a game that I just view as a coin flip because I struggled. You two are in my head really bad right now making a comeback here. I struggled to find a small dog. I originally wanted to go with Baylor. They went from minus one to plus three in the last, like, few days. Can't back them. They have no offense. So I'm going to go with a team that helped me get on the board to begin this segment a few weeks ago, and that is Georgia State. At even money. This is a coin flip game. Darren Granger will be the best player on the field between the two. Davis Brin's good, but he has some issues with ball security. Granger's a dual threat quarterback for the Panthers. If they're going to win, it's because he's making plays with his legs and with his arm. This offense is averaging almost 31 points per game. The defense only averaging allowing 23. It's the 47th ranked offense, 52nd ranked defense. Georgia Southern's good against the run, which means more Granger throwing, which I like. That means the ball's in his hands. I'm going to go with Darren Granger and Georgia State to beat Georgia Southern down in Statesboro, Georgia tonight at even money.
And again, there's a connection to Valdosta. How?
Well, actually, the connection's on the Georgia Southern side of things. The greatest coach in the history of Georgia Southern when they were 1AA, won three consecutive national championships, was one Irk Russell. Irk Russell was the defensive coordinator on the Georgia Bulldogs for the Junkyard Dogs. That's how he got his notoriety. Big old bald head. His grandson, Rooster Russell, real name Davis, we just called him Rooster. Have no idea why, by the way. No one ever explained that to me. I'm assuming he just woke up really early in the morning, like a rooster does. But Rooster went to college with me at Valdosta State. He was the starting center of the 2007 Valdosta State National Championship team, and now is the head coach at LaGrange High School.
Sorry I asked. Anything on this one? Oh my gosh. You when Dustin goes down a rabbit hole, you can actually hear his brain continuing down the hole.
To me, Patrick, this would be an in-play opportunity. Last year, these guys played a tight game, 41-33 in favor of Georgia State. But in that game, Georgia Southern had five turnovers. I think being at home gives them an advantage here. But this is going to be one of the ideal matchups. If you can catch anybody over a touchdown, I would look at that.
Rooster. What's a rooster sound like, big guy?
I don't know if I can do it. Why can't I think of how?
Cock-a-doodle-doo?
Isn't that just a chicken?
It might be. I don't know. Well, here's one thing I do know. You mentioned that we're catching up to you. Kind of hard to catch up when somebody's undefeated, so I'm going to keep going. My mid-sized dog is, and again, my initial gut on a mid-sized dog was Amal. So you'll have to wait for that one coming up next. So I flipped it, and I love this one even more because why wouldn't I? I love Duke plus four at Louisville plus 162. I'm going to whisper this because we had him on our old show and he was a super nice guy, but Jeff Brohm, his name is Donk Brohm. Okay. He just loses games. He's supposed to win. Mike Elko better. Louisville might be without their best rusher. Of course, Jamar Jordan, Dustin Sweetelson provided me that information this morning in 95 rush yards a game. Here's the deal. All you need to know. I understand Riley Leonard might not play and he's a pro for Duke. So I don't really really care about that. Duke's got the fifth best scoring D in the country. I don't really care about that. Here's all you need to know about Louisville. They are freaking fraudulent. You know how I know? Because I watched and bet on them when they went to Pitt and lost a football game. I'll hate this program till I die because of that one loss. And you know who they lost to again? I'll repeat myself. Freaking Pitt that plays at the Steelers Stadium there in Hines. You know who Pitt lost to the week before they beat Louisville? They lost to Virginia Tech. They stink. You know who they lost to the week after Pitt? The week after they beat Louisville? They beat Wake. Excuse me. They lost to Wake. Wake stinks. And somehow Pitt beat this Louisville team, and you're telling me I'm catching 162 with Duke and the better coach? Oh, hell yes. I see plus 165. Amal Shaw, my mid-sized dog, the Duke Blue Devils football. Let's go.
This is a great play, and I'll tell you, Duke is one quarter and one play away from being undefeated. The 4th and 16 or 17 by Sam Hartman against the Devils down at in Durham, and then the fourth quarter, Florida State, they were ahead of Florida State, and the Seminoles scored 21 points in that fourth quarter. You mentioned it, Mike Elko, in my opinion, huge coaching advantage here. I love this play by you here. I think this is a play. Not only do you take the points, but you have to bet the money line here at plus 165. I think the Blue Devils go on the road and win. And by the way, guys, I don't think people realize how good Juwar Jordan is. I mean, this is a guy averaging better than 7 yards per carry, and he is a difference maker for this offense.
Well, and that means more Jack Plummer, and yeah. No one on this show thinks Jack Plummer is anything special. Remember, he struggled at NC State, Jack Plummer, which is a good defense. Mike Elko is a much better coordinator. We'll have that defense dialed up. I don't see Plummer being able to throw all over Duke.
Jake Plummer says fade Jack Plummer. Next, mid-sized dog for a mall, and this was my first instinct. Let's get to it. It is the Browns at the Seahawks. I had it plus 169 somewhere in there. Go ahead, Amal.
Well, first of all, Dustin, I wish you let him keep it on there, because then I would have had a guaranteed victory as an underdog here, because we know he's going to go undefeated. So I would have liked to have had that
Thank
one
you.
With the Browns.
Appreciate it.
I'll tell you what, Patrick, they gave up 38 points last week to Indianapolis. They're going to bounce back. This defense is too good. I just think they played a bad game. Not in love with P.J. Walker, who's going to be the starter here in this matchup. I'm just not a buyer in Geno Smith and this Seattle Seahawks team. Yes, you are at home. You're laying 3.5 here. But at the end of the day, you've got the best defense in the National Football League. I think they're going to wreak havoc. Myles Garrett, who's on his way to being the NFL Defensive Player of the Year, I think he's going to meet at the quarterback at least a couple of times. I like the Browns, even with Jerome Ford running the ball. I think they're a dangerous team. This defense, again, as I mentioned, and the inconsistency from the Hawks offense, that's an area I have some concerns. They're sitting at 4-2. It's a nice record. But guys, when you really delve into the schedule, Arizona, the New York Giants. I mean, they did have that great win against Detroit, but then a game where they give up 360 yards passing to Andy Dalton at home against the Carolina Panthers, who are sitting at 0-6. I don't think the Seahawks should be more than a 2.5-point favorite in this game, only because they're at home and the Browns have P.J. Walker. Regardless, with that being said, give me the Brownies now up to plus 170 here. I like the Browns in this one on the money line to win in Seattle.
Yeah, I totally agree, my original mid-sized dog, and overrated the home field advantage for the Seahawks. Since 2021, they are 10-10 at home. Ooh. Doesn't matter. The Browns are the better team. Plus 170. Let's get it.
That's a shocking stat.
Well, they were really bad.
No, I know, but like that, I always thought that played a much bigger role in things, even when they were bad. That's a surprising number. Wow.
The big guy, floored, still thinking about the rooster. Go ahead. How's a rooster sound? You're struggling.
I can't think of it. I keep wanting to make the trumpet noise, you know, like the military wake up noise. I can't think of a rooster.
It's all
not,
good.
It's not caw, right? They don't go caw.
No, that's an alligator.
What? Okay. What? I've never.
I'm feeling slappy. I just am. I don't know. I had some matcha tea, and it's just really tripping me out. All right, tease us with your mid dog coming back.
My mid-sized dog is not a who, not a what, not a where, but a why.
Very well done. When we come back, mid-sized dog, and when we get to my big dog, I swear to you, unload the 401k, but don't do that because my bosses don't like when I say it.
We'll be right back. This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, DraftKings Sportsbook, right now new customers can bet $5 to win $200 instantly in bonus bets. Use the promo code SHARP, S-H-A, Dustin, chill out. Dustin, stop. S-H-A-R-P, okay, seriously, S-H-A-R-P, no sweat, same game parlay every day. So again, just want to reiterate before Dustin interrupted, bet $5, get $200 instantly in bonus bets right now using the promo code SHARP. DraftKings, the crown is yours. We got you back here, Sharp Money. We're in the dog pound, but it sounds like we're in the rooster pound. Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. Brennan is going to join us coming up at the top of the hour, of course. Brennan White, straight from DraftKings U.S. trading team lead, and then Bill Bender talking college football as well. But the big guy is up with your mid-sized dog. What do you got?
Oh, I said it was not a who, a what, a where, but a why. We're going to Wyoming. Actually, the game is in Fresno, but it's That's Wyoming terrible. Taking on Fresno, catching $1.70 here. Both these teams coming off a bye, but here's the thing. It's a really big one to stay in contention in the Mountain West Conference. Both teams are 2-1 in league play so far. And Wyoming, when you look at the schedule, big wins over Texas Tech, what?
They're playing Boise.
I meant Boise. Why did I say Fresno? Boise.
Doesn't matter.
It's because in my notes they beat Texas Tech, App State, and Fresno the other week. Two losses versus Texas, and they hung with them for most of the game. They lost to Air Force, who, by the way, Air Force might be a wagon, and they did that without their best player, Harrison Whaley. Whaley's got 7.2 yards per pop on the ground. This offense averaging about 26 points per game. They run for about 164, and the key will be the run game, but the quarterback, Andrew Peasley, he's pretty smart with the football. 12 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. He's not a big play guy, but he can do enough with his arms and legs to keep them in the game and walk away with a win here on the road at Boise, because Boise State allows 428 yards per game of total offense. They've held just 2 opponents under 25 points. I think Wyoming's not only getting too many points, I think they can definitely win this game.
Now, I love it, and I liked your tease, but and that's a cute little play, but nothing, and I'm talking nothing, jumped off the board like my big dog this week, and I don't know if one has jumped off like the whole entire time we've been in the pound, and again, haven't lost a game, so that's pretty good. How about this one? I mean, I'm going to fade a 7-0 team. When I hear that this team is 7-0, immediately I think, are you freaking kidding me? Never have these eyes seen such a fraudulent 7-0. Again, 7-0 for Brett Venables and his knee-biting pre-workout vibes with those eyes bugging out of his head. Oklahoma, did you see Oklahoma against Uncle Gussie Malzahn last week in Central Florida? Are you kidding? They should have lost the game. A 31-29 comeback win at home for them against Central Florida, who, again, lost at home to Baylor. Okay, Baylor. So, 7-0 Oklahoma at Leipold in Kansas. Leipold's better than Venables. I'll go 7-0. I'll fade them plus 280 with Kansas at home. Gabriel couldn't do anything against Central Florida's defense. Not going to be able to do anything against Kansas's defense. Again, it's a big dog, so I'm stretching a little bit here. But I did watch the game, and I did bet Oklahoma, and I hate that team. Now, you can add them to the Louisville mix and shoot them to the moon because they both killed me. I'll take plus 280 on Kansas at home. Undefeated. Let's go.
Not a bad play at all here, especially in Lawrence. This Oklahoma team, you know, it wasn't just that they had a bad game against UCF. And not only did the Knights have an opportunity to win the game, it just seemed like they were completely flat, but it wasn't. Yep. They just, it wasn't like they were able to flip a switch.
They're not Oklahoma.
Correct. That's how you summarized what I was trying to say. Thank you.
Like when you think of Oklahoma, you think of going into Lawrence and dropping a 50 burger.
You're absolutely right. And they failed to do just that.
Well, just go ahead and go right behind you is the book. Go ahead and +280. You're welcome. Amal Shah, big dog, you're next.
Well, you know, Patrick had some foreshadowing earlier when we were talking about sounds that animals make. He said alligator. Well, he was onto something because I got the Gators this weekend in Jacksonville at the world's largest cocktail party. Guys, this is kind of like the downfield pass we saw from West Virginia, Houston against West Virginia. I'm throwing up a Hail Mary. I'm only going up against a team that's won 24 games in a row with one of the most incompetent head coaches from an offensive standpoint, but refuses to give up the play calling in Billy Napier. I'm going to go with the guy whose best game was against Illinois 4 years ago, took three miracles in Columbia, South Carolina on third down to convert to beat the worst defensive coach in college football and Shane Beamer and that horrific pass defense in South Carolina. But don't worry, somehow the Florida Gators at +14 or 14.5 on the money line at just a staggering number of 430 are going to pull the upset in the cocktail party despite having lost five of the last six against Kirby.
I love it. And if he cashes at +430, that will by far be the biggest cash of the year in the dog pound. No, big guy?
Yeah, I don't think anyone's hit a large dog of that size yet.
So now let me give you my real reasons for why I took Florida here. Without Brock Bowers, to me, guys, I don't know where you come out on this one. You can make a case for Marvin Harrison, but I think Brock Bowers outside of the quarterback position is the most valuable player from a skill position to any team in college football. The loss of Brock Bowers in this lineup with ankle surgery has a huge blow for this team. On the flip side, this running game for Georgia hasn't been as good as it's been in years past. Kendall Milton, he's hobbled. He's questionable in this game. But the bigger concern that I have is just the lack of consistency. Edwards has done a nice job averaging almost 6 yards per carry, but Beck is your third leading receiver. Georgia's usually got a stable of dudes at running back. They're just missing in that particular area. Lavette's done a solid job in terms of catching the ball. Ra-Ra Thomas. Don't worry, we're only in week 8. If you feel like standing up, you got 5 games. How about that transfer in from Mississippi State? Maybe make one appearance, but why don't you make it in week 9 and forget the cocktail party in Jacksonville? I just don't see enough consistency out of this team right now. They got pushed in the first half. They dominated against South Carolina, dominated Kentucky, but I don't think this team is as good as the last two Georgia iterations. I think Florida's got an opportunity. There's some positive momentum from the win against South Carolina. I don't drink, but I might be drunk on this Gator team right now. I think they pulled the upset.
Wrap it up. Layup winner +450. Never seen it before. Except I'm sold. I'm sold. And again, we know what an alligator sounds like. Cockadoodle do. Big guy.
Graham
Big
Mertz.
Dog.
Graham Mertz, by the way, 12 touchdowns, 2 interceptions this year.
He's playing well. He's actually playing very well.
But when you watch it, you're like, I don't see anything happening. It's like nothing happens, but somehow the stats are there. All right. My last dog was a Y, Oeming. This one is a U, NLV. This team is at Fresno State. That's what I was talking about before. I actually thought about BYU at 8-1 as my play over Texas. They actually have a winning all-time record over Texas, and I think 2-1 lifetime in Austin. But as we mentioned at the beginning of this segment, this is a contest. There are standings, and I am getting the gap closed behind me with you two every single week, so I need something closer to a lock. That's why we're going to go to the Running Rebels. See, UNLV is too big of a dog as well. I can't believe that they're catching over a touchdown. I get to use them as my big dog. The only game they lost this year was at Michigan, and they cheat. It took cheating to beat Barry Odom's squad this year. Fresno State, on the other hand, they beat Nevada at home by 18. Well, UNLV won on the road over Nevada by 18. That's way more impressive against the same opponent. UNLV beat a solid Colorado State team last week. They have a three-headed running back attack. The quarterback, Maivia, 65%, does just enough, but he's 4-0 as a starter since he took over. And Fresno lost to a Wyoming squad 2 weeks ago that ran for 130 on them and threw for 199. I think UNLV's new look offense will run all over Fresno State, and they will walk out of Fresno with a big old fat victory in the Mountain West Conference. It's so weird that I keep having Mountain West teams in my picks for this segment because I hate watching that league.
I love it. I mean, it's a winner. I can't believe how much we've won already today. You know, I'm not saying this segment is shticky, but you just did your mid dog a whole entire breakdown against two teams that weren't playing each other.
What?
Remember your mid-dog matchup? I'm not saying it's a sticky segment, but you broke down two teams that weren't complaining.
Well, no, I didn't look. I forgot it was Boise. It's not a big deal. No,
trust me. It's perfection.
It's not a big deal. Wyoming. Here's the irony is that's my favorite play on the board all week. Across the board, Wyoming plus five this week. It's a lock. Love it.
I tell you what, I like the over in this game. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. You got two teams averaging better than 34 points a game. There should be some points here late night in the Valley.
I have to tell you guys something that maybe only Amal will care about. I laid an insane price in Europa League soccer today with Union St. Gallois. They're playing at home against LASK. And when I say, I think I laid like $2.50. on Union St. Gallois, just because, I don't know, I was just in a weird mood this morning. I'm like, I'm going to lay a price. They were losing 1-0 and then scored on a penalty in the 84th minute to tie it up, and then scored in the fourth minute of extra time to win it 2-1. And after they scored an extra time in the fourth minute, 7 seconds later, it was full time. So I won down 1-0. First goal, 84th minute. Last goal scored with 7 seconds to go in the match. Winner. Just like I drew it up. Dog pound. Brennan White is next.